And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodrigue, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how we doing?
Doing well, Jordan. Free agency is here. I say it every week, but I can't believe how fast the offseason goes. And as we sit here recording on Monday, March 8th, we are now just 1 week away from that exciting opening of the negotiating period, or as I've heard it referred to before in other sports, legal tampering, which I always thought was an interesting phrase to use. But Jordan, do you feel the excitement? It's almost here. The free agency period is almost here.
So this is actually the worst week of the football season.
Jordan, you don't have my same level of enthusiasm here about this free agency period.
I am just a beacon of positivity over here. But, you know, I think that this is the worst week really in for everybody, for players, for agents, especially this year with so much unknown. They don't even have a salary cap as of 12:45 on this fine Monday. This fine Monday, a phrase no one has ever uttered in the history of time.
No.
But, you know, it's a stressful week for everybody, for media, for everyone, because there's so much negotiating that's happening. In fact, Rich, I prefer to call Sunday's opening of the negotiation window more like negotiating window. Am I right?
Good one.
It's a fake negotiating window. Right. Do you get it?
I get it.
Do you get it?
You should trademark that.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
I get it. All right. Just checking. All right. Well, you didn't laugh. So
I did.
It's fine. It's okay.
It's hilarious.
Everything's happening. Normally at the combine, so much of this deal making and these phone calls and handshakes and everything happens at the combine, which of course didn't happen because of COVID-19 precautions. And so now these things are happening via phone. Hopefully there's a lot of burner phones because you don't want to get caught for tampering, even though everyone does it. But apparently it's not allowed, even though everyone does it. And so this is the week where all of the rumors start flying. That's why it's a hectic week and it's a nutso week. And a lot of players I've talked to in the past just turn their phones off this week, right? They turn their phones off. This is their week of detox from social media. They ask for like one or two phone calls or carrier pigeons from their agent. And that will tell them everything they need to know. And they just kind of try to block out everything else. Because it's really a stressful time, because this is when all of the postulating and last second trade manufacturing and all of the bluffing and the sort of inflation tactics start to happen for various players. There's going to be cuts, a frenzy of cuts, because teams are all trying to get under the cap, which we still don't know, by the way. And so it's a really stressful week for everybody, but also one of those where if you follow our outline, and we might be wrong on some of it, but you won't be stressed, at least if you follow our outline. And that's what we want to do today, right, Rich?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here. Like you said, you have to start with the fact that we don't know what the salary cap ceiling is. And normally that's not as big of a deal because every year it goes up. So you never have to think like, well, you know, how low do you have to go to get under the cap? It's always, okay, well, how much money are we going to be able to spend? And now it goes the other way because the cap ceiling is going to drop because of the, you know, the revenue decline this year because of COVID-19 and empty stadiums and things like that. So what a strange time, you know, here 9 days before the first contracts can be signed. Nobody knows what the salary cap is going to be. We are technically in the middle of the franchise tag window right now, but I think one team has used it because nobody knows what's going on.
And yeah.
it's the strangest thing. It's like, you know, people just throwing darts in the dark here, trying to figure out what that cap is going to be, and you know, what kind of negotiating can you do? How much room are you going to have? Never have I seen anything like this. And obviously, it's a, you know, victim of the circumstances that we've got going on. But Jordan, the Rams are going to have to make some interesting decisions here over the next week or 10 days. So I know you've been covering this with your great coverage on The Athletic through our app and our website, but kind of wanted to talk through this, probably maybe position by position, probably the best way to do it, just to give people a sense of the decisions that have to be made here and what might be coming over the next, again, maybe next 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, I think that's a nice organized way to do it. So that's how we're going to do it. But a couple of things that I want people to keep in mind as we go through this. Rich, you made a really good point. Aside from getting your Athletic coverage via the website and the app, your other great point that you made was that it's not just about getting under the cap. You also have to figure out what you can spend, because every team does roster movement and a little bit of pruning here and trimming there and adding in certain places. so this is a truth. Okay, the Rams believe that if they were to only restructure contracts, they could get everybody under. And if they were only to use the restructuring tool, not cuts, not trades, simply the restructuring tool, the way that their core contracts on their roster are set up, they would deftly be able to get under the cap and be fine.
Right?
But you also have to decide where you want to add, where you want to upgrade. And, you know, as much as it was sort of the sexy headline that Matthew Stafford, not Matt, Matthew, right. Matthew Stafford is, I always almost slip up on that. My sister's name is Matty, so this is going to get confusing. Matthew Stafford is, the sexy headline was that he's one, the final piece on this roster. But you just cannot expect there to be no movement. And of course, the quarterback is absolutely a crucial area if you feel you need to improve that position to go out and do it. But you also need to evaluate some of the pieces around him. And Sean McVay said so himself a couple of weeks ago, you know, you can't just put it all on the quarterback. You have to have some complementary pieces around him, not just on the personnel side, but on the coaching side. And so, you know, they're going to, even though they could get everybody under by simply restructuring and then be fine, there's always other things to explore. And some of the big things that we'll get to right off the bat are the concept of like cap casualty cuts or possible trades. And one thing that is interesting about the cuts, Rich, is it doesn't seem like there's a ton of cut of true cut candidates, does there?
No, and the way you can usually, these websites are great, whether it's overthecap.com or SpotTrack, and you can look at the, you know, the dead cap versus the cap savings. And I don't know, I don't know what their number is to me, but I always look at it in my head and go, oh, that makes sense or that doesn't make sense. And there's no specific formula to it, but sometimes you just look at a guy's, you know, 2021 salary and go, ah, yeah, that would make some sense, you know, if it's a $2 million dead cap and they're going to save $8 million or something like that, then you go, okay, yeah, that's a move that makes sense. Whereas if it's, you know, more like 50-50 or 60-40 in terms of the savings versus the dead cap, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I don't know whether it's the way the Rams have structured some of these contracts or it's just a kind of a coincidence of this year. But yeah, there aren't a lot that I look at now and go, okay, that would make a lot of sense to do right now. And even the ones that do, they don't make sense, because you'd be talking about, you know, maybe a guy like Austin Corbett, who you really need, and who doesn't save you that much money either. So, yeah, when I look at that, there's usually some that make a lot of sense to me, but this year I'm just not seeing it.
And they don't make a lot of dollars either, Rich.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, you're not saving anything really. I mean, the one that I looked at last year, I thought was Rob Havenstein. That was a possibility, but. But even now, that doesn't make as much sense. So, yeah, it really has to be kind of a marriage of it makes sense financially, and it makes sense in terms of you can replace that player somewhat easily. And I just don't see it this year. I could be wrong, but I think we probably would have seen it by now. And I just don't know whether there's a fit this year.
Right. It doesn't make sense, Rich. Or dollars.
Ah.
I just waited for you to write that one out.
Yeah,
just,
I'm keeping a count here. That's two. But, one, but to, two. Okay.
To your point, you're actually throwing darts at a photo of my face at the door, I'm sure. No. But to your point, you know, there are some things that could be feasible. When you talk about, you know, maybe savings if you were to designate a player like Michael Brockers as a post-June 1st cut, for right. example. There's about a $6 million savings that's possible. But also, and I wrote in my latest piece over The Athletic, like, there's no reason why you couldn't restructure him. In fact, you right. would save that much money about it's a little bit under that much money by restructuring him. You can also restructure guys like Robert Woods, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. All of those guys, you're able to restructure. The Rams can't touch Matthew Stafford's contract until the new league year on the 17th. But you, at that point, also can restructure that contract. And you also can do certain things with it, like we had said in the past, like maybe tack on another year. That's still an option. They could wait a little bit of, for time to pass a little bit on that just in case, just to offer more relief in the immediate. But the cuts that you make, they also have to be players that you feasibly gain more by parting ways with them than you would by retaining them on essentially a cheaper deal that's more cash heavy in the immediate term, right? So they, you know, you think there's a couple of guys, and Jake McQuaid, the long snapper, comes to mind, a couple of guys who could part ways with them in free agency who otherwise might have been the quote unquote cap casualty. But it just doesn't seem like they're going to be in the business really much of cutting guys. And, yeah. and then also they're always thinking about their compensatory mathematical formula for the picks that they so often hit on in the third and fourth rounds. And they're looking at a lot of opportunities in that regard over the next couple of years. And they have to be, because they don't have first round picks. And so these are the developmental draft picks that they need to sort of fill in around some of these core contracts.
Yeah, those third round picks end up being very valuable. And the Rams have always been good at doing that math and calculating that when it comes to letting guys walk. It's not just that player or how much money they're going to make. It's like, okay, well, if that guy walks, then we lose him, but that's a potentially a third or fourth round pick coming back. So yeah, it's very complicated, and you can't just look at the numbers necessarily, like a couple of the guys you mentioned. I mean, Michael Brockers, okay, you save that money, but then who's going to replace him? And you still have to have somebody in there, either an internal candidate who you feel good about, or you have to go out and sign somebody, which cuts into that $6 million of savings that you have. So that's something you have to factor in. Or Rob Havenstein, you could save quite a bit of money there again this year if he gets cut. But do you feel okay about those young offensive linemen stepping in and replacing him? So it's really a fascinating mixture of on-field and off-field, and trying to figure out the risks involved. But I don't know. I Jordan, just circling back to where you started, I think the Rams can get there just with some of those restructures, and yeah. maybe even get themselves in a decent spot to maybe make an upgrade or two in some positions. So I'll be curious to see how those come along and who gets those restructures. But yeah, I don't get the sense that this is going to be a big year for that.
Yeah, and the other big thing to think about is trades. And that's also where this situation that they're facing and every team is facing in 2020 sort of factors in to sort of maybe prevent some of those larger trades from happening. Like, I still think you're going to see a ton of quarterback movement, and that's going to be really interesting to follow and on the sidelines, since at the time it was hectic, but I'm very glad the Rams got theirs out of the way. at the time it was a little chaotic, but it's good that they got it done right away, because there's so much unknown as the cap and all the questions and the markets sort of swirl around.
Are you saying you wouldn't want to be covering the Seahawks right now? Is that
true? That seems like Michael Sean Dugar, who does a great job for us covering the Seahawks and broke that huge Russell Wilson story. From time to time, we'll just tweet photos of drinking a glass of whiskey. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, I feel that. I'm sorry. Sending my condolences over there.
Indeed.
But But I just don't think that you're going to see a lot of that. Like, so here's another truth. So the Rams are not, because they believe that they can get everyone under via restructure, they're not financially motivated to trade, right? And that's kind of a, it's like a nitpick of a little bit of a nuance there. So because you're not motivated financially to get, say, a Robert Woods contract off the books because you can restructure it heavily, like you can save almost all $11.5 million via restructure if you convert it to cash. And obviously that puts things on the back end, but the cap's expected to bounce back up over the next couple of years. And, you know, things will be different, I think, next year. So, and then you're not facing dead money, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know all of this. Right. But when you look at the something like, yes, the Rams have gotten calls about Robert Woods. Spoiler, though, they get calls every year about Robert Woods. This was a really fun tidbit for me to find because, of course, as Robert Woods has developed since his Buffalo playing days and like really become one of the more underrated guys in the league, of course you're calling about Robert Woods, particularly before he signed the contract. Like, yes, you are calling about him every single year.
Right.
So, yes, they have gotten calls about Robert Woods, but what they don't have to say to themselves internally, hey, we've got to offload this guy because of his salary at this point.
Right.
So now we have to find a trade partner. No, instead, what they're looking at, and this Robert Woods is just an example. I don't think Robert Woods is getting traded. I would think that he would retire as a Los Angeles Ram, to be quite honest with you, unless something insane happens. And there's no room for insanity right now. There was room for one insane move, and that was the Matthew Stafford trade. The second one may or may not be the Deshaun Watson trade, if the Texans even let go of him.
Right.
Like, there's really no room for that kind of thing this year because everybody is holding on to the resources that are sort of quote-unquote free to them, which is their draft picks, because they know that they're going to have to part ways with some players, and in some cases, some key players, via cap casualty cut, via, you know, you just can't re-sign them in free agency, via them going elsewhere, one-year deals, just all of these things, that tough decisions that are coming in. So if you're another team, you're automatically not a great trade partner, regardless of who you are and where you are, because you're holding on tightly to the resources you do have, knowing that they have to supplement the horrible things you have to do in the spring.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. It's not going to be financially motivated. A Michael Brockers, who, yes, the Rams are in the process of figuring out, you know, what do we do in terms of his contract? Well, restructure would obviously be the first option. Then you look at depth behind him, and you look at A'shaun Robinson, who's actually, his cap number is actually only like $3 million this year, and really developed into a good player after having to be out for half the season last year. So then you sort of weigh the cost benefit and things like that. And then you look at, yes, you can restructure most of his contract. So at that point, you're not maybe personnel slash financially motivated at that point. You know, you've got options there. But are people offering you something that you would deem worthy of trading away one of your sort of stalwarts in the locker room and your team leaders who's been with you since St. Louis? And like, probably not, right?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
And so I would be really stunned to see that. I would be shocked to see those things happen. But I would be kind of surprised to see them in most places because, like I said, there's a difference between what's going to happen this offseason and what we normally see in terms of the free agency movement. And it is a little bit chaotic. But on the Rams side, these are not decisions that will be financially motivated because they believe that if they kind of make their decisions via restructure and they make their room via restructure, then you don't have to be motivated and you don't have to kind of get desperate. You can seek higher return in trades because you're not desperate to get someone off your books, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a position of power rather than a position of desperation, and that's where you want to be. You don't want to be known as the team that needs to make a move. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the team by team pages to see who's really in a bad spot. I know the Saints are clearing cap like crazy.
Do people talk about that? I don't see. I mean, I see it at times. I see it as kind of like, oh, they just keep moving stuff back or whatever. But it kind of seems like everyone. This may be just my perception. And even when I was covering the NFC South, the Saints were always kind of like, oh yeah, we're like kind of floating under the radar with all of our cap concerns. Well, I still heard about the Rams from the other side of the country.
Right, right. Yeah, that is pretty wild. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't looked at their player pages to see what they can do there, but they were way over. I mean, they were like 100 million over or something like that. So, I don't know. Yeah, it is funny. The Rams kind of got all this attention. Well, you know, and I think that's also a snowball over the last couple of years, because the Rams have been synonymous with the phrase salary cap hell, whether or not they deserve it or not. So I think it's just a narrative that's existed over the last two or three years, even though at the end of the day, I mean, there haven't been any real desperation moves. There hasn't been any moves where you go, oh my goodness, they did that just because they have to get under the cap. Like that really has not happened. So I'm not really sure why that narrative continues to exist, but it does. But yeah, it's just I don't think the Rams are there right now. It's a situation where, yeah, if somebody approaches them with a trade and it makes sense purely as a trade, yeah, you know, you look at it, you talk about it, but it's not a situation where, oh goodness, now we can finally escape our problems if we make this trade. You definitely don't want to be in that position, and I don't think the Rams are right now.
Yeah, I mean, well said, much better said than my slight ramble that I went on. Sometimes I think that when I talk, it sort of, if it were to be personified, it would look like a wheel of cheese rolling down a hill. But anyway,
that sounds delicious.
Sounds great. Yeah, I would accept that rolling into
giant wheel of cheese.
My house. Yeah. That would be wonderful.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Well, I think that, like we said before, I think an easier way to organize this at this point is by position, because they do have a lot of moving parts, a lot of depth. When you're in free agency, remember, guys, it's not just obviously the big names in the first wave, which is what's going to come out and start leaking the end of this week and early next week up into the trade window. But also, you know, you're going to get like a second wave and a third wave, then a post-draft wave and a summer wave of post-June 1st guys and things like that. So this is where you start to look at where they not only could stand to improve, but where they have depth. And then also my piece over on The Athletic, it sort of talks about, well, would this be something that they would look at in free agency, or do we think that it's probably going to be a draft replacement? So let's start with quarterback. I mean, spoilers, guys.
Did something happen?
Matthew Stafford is apparently he's gearing up in all the Los Angeles Rams gear, and then hitting us with the links for where to find like the Rams Hawaiian shirt on Amazon. So that was pretty cool to see him and his wife on vacation in, I think it was Cabo. That's where all the cool kids go, I think. And sure. We're decked out in Rams gear. So that was neat to see. So obviously the Matthew Stafford stuff is happening, but do they need depth here? Now, before this trade, I would have said maybe this is the year you draft a quarterback. In fact, I was a little bit bullish on them drafting a quarterback prior to this trade movement, especially as it became pretty clear that Sean McVay was ready to move on from Jared Goff. But at this point, I mean, I'm kind of liking their quarterback's room in terms of the depth.
Yeah, it's. I think a lot of it depends on how good do you feel about Matthew Stafford staying on the field. I mean, say whatever you want to say about Jared Goff, but the guy was durable. Thumb injury at the end, notwithstanding, which he probably could have played.
Notwithstanding.
That's three.
All right. Third dart.
Wrote that
third
one down.
Dart right in the forehead.
Let's see how many we can get today. But you knew he was probably going to play 16 games, whether you liked it or not. And I know a lot of people didn't, but you could count on him. Now, Matthew Stafford, he's been very, very durable except for 1 year. So how good do you feel about that? And then you factor in that he's also 33 years old. So he's getting to the age where you start to worry about that a little bit more. So I think that's kind of how you have to look at it, almost like a worst case scenario. If something does go wrong, how do you feel about putting John Wolford in there? Do you feel good about that? You know, Sean McVay likes him, but are you comfortable with that? Or would you rather have somebody who's a little more established in there just as a safety valve? I don't know. I tend to think, based on some of these other areas or positions that we're going to talk about, I tend to think you keep it as is, but I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
You know, I would not be pissed if they drafted in a later round a quarterback to just sort of sit in and develop. I wouldn't be mad about that because as it stands, the Rams have Matthew Stafford for the next 2 years, could be more depending on if and when they get that extension done. So at some point, and him being a veteran, like at some point you do need to start thinking about the long term outside of this window that they've sort of attached themselves to.
Right.
But also, you know, I really like Bryce Perkins. And, you know, this John Walford's their backup quarterback. And I think that he has showed that he can be a really, really good backup quarterback for them. And someone who Sean McVay was ready to have in place instead of Jared Goff by the end of last season. Injury aside, was ready to have him compete with Jared Goff in training camp if a trade didn't work out. I mean, that's where we were at, guys. Do not forget that. So I think that John Walford, look, I don't think Sean would design as many runs for him considering what happened and how sort of remorseful Sean seemed to have designed that run that ended up with that collision with Jamal Adams that got him the stinger and sort of sat him out for the rest of the year. But in any case, I also think that the way that John Walford ran the offense and what we saw in terms of how the plays developed, that showed a little bit of a blueprint of what Sean McVay wants to do with Matthew Stafford. And so when you have guys who are similar, like they're not identical, obviously, but in terms of moving in the pocket and in terms of finding throwing lanes and in terms of being able to freestyle a little bit and really extend plays and help plays develop downfield, like that's what they're looking for, right? Yeah. So I think it's okay. You're not facing a catastrophic scenario. I'm not going to jinx anybody, but whatever happens, you're not facing a catastrophic scenario. You're just facing kind of like a oh damn it scenario,
right?
So, but then behind, like as developmental guys, so I really, really like Bryce Perkins. Bryce Perkins can throw the damn football. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see some change of pace packages even installed with him in 2021. If he's active a couple of times, would not be surprised to see that. So I think they like him as a developmental guy as well. And then you need a camp arm too. And so Devlin Hodges, also a guy who can move around in the pocket a little bit. And so he provides another camp arm. And so I think that's, they're all these quarterbacks are sort of in similar styles to what Sean McVay wants to do with Matthew Stafford. So I think that sort of points you toward, they feel like maybe they're set there right now.
Yeah.
I still think though, you know, long-term, you always have to have one eye on the long-term. So if not this year, maybe next year is when they start sniffing around a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly haven't looked too closely at the quarterback classes, what's coming up next year to see, you know, what.
It's a good class. It's a very good
class. The 22 class?
Yes. Okay. And it's a deep class.
There you go. So that, I think that's the answer right there. I mean, if you feel comfortable and I think they do, then Maybe you push that a year and then start eyeing your guy. That makes a lot of sense to me.
All right. So what about receiver? And the Robert Woods question came up earlier, so hopefully that helped provide a little bit of clarity. But what do you think in terms of receiver? Because we know that Sean McVay really talked about wanting to highlight and complement the explosive plays. And so that's going to be a combination of catch and run plays and yards after catch plays that we know Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are so good at. But then also the air yards explosives that Matthew Stafford is very good at and his penchant for explosive throws and something we did not see last year. So that usually would point to adding a little bit of vertical speed in the passing game.
Yeah, this is fascinating to me, Jordan. And I don't know whether you and I totally agree on this. And I kind of hope we don't, because I want to give people a little bit of a different perspective. But obviously, we know Woods and Kupp are there. Josh Reynolds, free agent, looks like he'll be moving on. I don't really see a scenario where he comes back. I don't think Simba Webster is that guy that we're talking about who's going to fill that role. He could be, but I just really don't see it happening. Which brings me to Van Jefferson. And I understand why Van Jefferson got drafted last year. And I think he's a very good receiver, has the potential to be a good NFL receiver. But where does he fit right now? Because I don't necessarily see him being that guy who steps in to fill that role that we're talking about with that exact skill set that we're talking about. But if he's not that guy, and if they need to bring in somebody else, whether it's through the draft or free agency, what does that mean for Van Jefferson? Because now you're talking about potentially being in the mix as a 3/4 receiver, and also with tight end Tyler Higbee in there in the mix. I'm a little less rosy, I think, on Van Jefferson's future with this team. But what's the scenario here where he's a big part of this?
Yeah, so this is kind of a Rorschach test in like whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, right? Because like if you look at the Rams receivers room, you're like, oh, cool. And if you're an optimist, you're like, oh, cool. All those guys are super versatile and they all do a bunch of different things. And in that way, I can create a complementary receivers room because I can just assign them into different roles on any given snap. And that means that someone can get downfield and this person, you know, in the Rams' minds, probably Van Jefferson. And I can have, you know, a versatile sort of rotation of guys because they can all do the things that I need them to do at various times in complement. So that's if you're an optimist. If you're a pessimist, you're looking at the Rams receivers room and you're like, all these guys are the same.
Right.
Like we need something different. We need like a true, you know, deep threat. We need, you know, just a different skill set than what these guys have. And like, I tend to be an optimist, right? So I'm kind of looking at it as like, I think it's going to be more of how Sean McVay uses these three guys.
Right.
In complement, because I think there's an opportunity here to sort of exploit Van Jefferson's versatility. And I think I do believe he can get downfield and get downfield well, not just because of, you know, top end speed or track, you know, track speed,
right,
but because of the way he can come off the line and win immediately off the line of scrimmage. And then some of the route running that he does is really sharp. And so I think that he still, and you know, the Rams still drafted him knowing that they weren't going to retain Josh Reynolds. And so, you know, maybe he can step into a little bit more of a role in that regard. At the same time, I do think that they should get a guy who's really interesting speed-wise. Like, I don't necessarily believe that you need a guy who just runs go routes. Like, I'm not really into that.
Right.
I think that you want, maybe if you're a Sean McVay, you're looking at, like, gadget guys. Like, there's no way that they could afford to get, like, a Curtis Samuel in free agency.
Right.
But I'm looking at that kind of player, a guy who can, you know, catch passes out of the backfield, you know, do the reverses and really be a threat in the reverse game and the motions. And then also, you know, if he takes a couple carries and change of pace packages, can also get vertical extremely well and easily. But But that's, you know, you could, you maybe could find that guy in the draft because you don't have the resources for the high dollar target. Like, my sense on where the Rams are at when it comes to receiver is like, you're probably looking at $2 to $4 million per year. So that rules out several guys, including, I know popular name has been Marvin Jones. Right. It would be like downright rude of us as human beings to ask Marvin Jones to take $2 million just because he wants to win, you know, maybe win a championship with Matthew Stafford. Right. Like that, like these guys, let them make a living.
Right, like, right, right.
You know what I mean? This is just the reality of where the Rams are at. And that's fine. There's options for them. There are options in free agency. I think there are more, maybe higher upside, long-term upside for the Rams if they look for like maybe a gadget guy who can really get vertical very, very quickly in the draft. Because again, I do think that there's an opportunity for them to really utilize these guys truly in complement because they can do multiple things.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the draft is the way to look here. It's funny, Jordan, when you were talking there, it struck me. Rams fans are going to probably spit out whatever meal they're eating right now when I say this, but they almost need like a Tavon Austin kind of guy who can do a lot of those things. And I know, Jordan, you mentioned in your latest piece too, also could be the answer for the return specialist job is something you also have to look at there. So yeah, you can get caught up in Marvin Jones and some of these bigger names, but I really don't think that's the fit. I mean, could you find somebody in bargain free agency who might take that $2 million or $2.5 million or whatever it is? Yeah, you maybe could, but I tend to think the draft is the way to look there. And I don't know. I'm not sure what that means for Van Jefferson. I think there's certainly a way to get him involved. But when you talk about, you know, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and how much, you know, how big a part of that offense that they are. And I know we'll get to the running backs too, and some of the things that they can even do in the pass game. And I know that's a pet project of yours, Jordan, for a while to get those those backs involved in the pass game. So I don't know. At the end of the day, it's a good problem to have. If you have at least three quality receivers who are very versatile and can do a lot of different things, that's nothing you turn your nose up at. That's for sure. I just wonder what it means for Van Jefferson.
Yeah, and the other thing is like I think the conversation this week is like centered around, oh, teams are, you know, making calls on Robert Woods. Again, like they do every single year.
Yeah.
But I personally would absolutely not want to hustle a guy who, you know, had 1,000 yards 2 years ago, like 930 yards this past season, 10.5 yards per catch, 6 touchdowns. Like and that's when the offense is like flailing. That's when they're turning the ball over. That's when they're struggling. Like, I'm not hustling that guy out the door.
No. And right? That contract.
I'm not trying to, and it's not like, I think you were about to say, it's not a long contract.
No. And it's also friendly.
Restructure all of it.
Yeah. It's also very friendly once you get, even when you look at the long-term, the dead cap and things like that. If that contract ends up going sideways on you in a year or two, you can get out of it very easily. So it's not a situation where it's like, oh, let's get out of this contract before it turns sour on us. That it's not that case at all.
No. And like, he's proven that he's not, I mean, anything can happen every year, injuries, whatever, but like, he's not regressing.
No.
Just because he's very slightly lower in like targets and yards and, you know, whatever this year, that's more indicative of what I believe the failure of the Rams offense was as a whole.
Yes.
Because I think that Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp should have both gone over 1,000 yards. And obviously Cooper Kupp missed a game, but both of those guys should have gone over 1,000 yards. I mean, you even had your number three, Josh Reynolds, you have him at 618 yards. Imagine if you're throwing the ball downfield more. Imagine what that number is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm serious. I really think, like, I have no issue with them, like, wanting to tweak and upgrade here and there. And I think that having Van Jefferson come in over – like Josh Reynolds departing in free agency. And then you're also throwing the ball downfield more. And then you're also offering more layers than you were last year. And you also have a more advanced running game that does help your offense in many, many ways, get you into the passing concepts that you want to get into. Like, this to me is not a problem.
Like, right, I agree.
But at the same time, I hold this second truth in my brain at the same time, which we love to do on this podcast, which is I would like to see them add some vertical speed, but I'd like to see them do it via someone who is maybe a long-term potential upside who they can sprinkle in as a threat, and not completely, someone who they're getting a long-term higher upside return because they're not, spending $8 million, $6 million, $7 million on right. a guy coming in. Like I don't think they're going to go over $6 million. Like, if they could get the friendliest contract ever, I don't think they're going to go over $6 million on your receivers.
Right.
So you have three guys who've proven that they have potential in your offense. Well, what we know about the Rams is they usually will take proven upside over in terms of where they're investing their resources, proven upside over maybe right. a couple of unknowns. And then, you have your possible draft pick here, which is like costing you very little in terms of your resource allocation, because he's probably coming in like the fourth or fifth round. And so, I don't really see the harm in that.
No,
honestly.
No.
And I also don't like the idea of trying to hustle Robert Woods out of town.
No,
like,
no.
I don't like that. No. And the Rams aren't doing that, by the
right.
way. They are getting calls like they always do, but they are by no means sitting there thinking like, oh yeah, let's entertain this. Like, crazier things have happened. If a team came to them and was like, hey, take a first round pick and, then you'll also have some cash. But like, teams aren't going to be offering first round picks.
Right. Right.
They're just not.
No.
Like, they need them this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're the Rams.
Then you never need them.
Then they don't even exist in your vocabulary.
No. You just cross that line off at the start of every year. So, I think it's interesting what's going to go on. I'm looking maybe third or fourth round for that. That's my, I think maybe you can get somebody quality there who certainly doesn't need to be your number one receiver or even your number two receiver on this team, but has some skills that complement those guys. So I'd be surprised if it happened in free agency, but who knows? I mean, maybe Sean's eyes get big and Matthew Stafford's eyes get big and they see, a potential, but I don't know. I wouldn't bet on it, Jordan, but do we want to look at running backs? This is an interesting, obviously Cam Akers just comes in last year, Daryl Henderson 2 years ago through the draft, Malcolm Brown set to be an unrestricted free agent. Jordan, I go in thinking that you try to run this back, no pun intended. Sure, maybe I should put one down for myself there.
Where's my dart? Yeah, I need a dart.
Okay. It did not work in 2020 exactly the way that we thought it was going to work, but I think the potential is there. I think when it did work, it looked really good. And I'm just wondering if you're the Rams, if you look at that, three back mix and think, I'd like to give this another shot and see how this looks, because I think there's some potential there.
I think it's okay. I think that especially with Cam Akers' improvement, like, he'll continue in that lead back role, and then you're going to get like some sprinkling of complimentary snaps with probably Daryl Henderson and maybe even Xavier Jones, especially in sort of your speed packages. And then also Matthew Stafford likes to throw to running backs, although a lot of that's dictated by personnel and the way that, what his resource allocation was in terms of who he could throw to and all of that. But
right.
that aside, historically he throws like a little over 20% to running backs. So maybe you work them in the passing game more. Maybe you do a couple more like two back sets, which I love. And I know they're just yeah. out of style and just not the thing to do anymore, but I don't care. I still like them. And I especially love the idea of Cam Akers in the passing game as well. But then I think you also like, if Malcolm Brown doesn't want to test free agency in like a really sort of terrible time to be especially a veteran free agent at a position that teams are not paying anymore, And then you want to come back on a team-friendly deal. Like, that's ideal for the Rams, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Malcolm Brown, like, everyone loves him in that locker room. Really been a great mentor for Cam Akers. And, you know, especially with them maybe having that first year and there's injuries and all of this sort of inconsistency that was happening. So maybe having that first year under them, like, I think we could see some really neat things out of this running backs room. And so I would not mind at all bringing back Malcolm Brown. And then you have like a guy like Johnny Munt, who I believe is a restricted free agent, who you could bring back to be like some, like one of your heavies,
right?
Like in a fullback role. And especially, we'll get to this, but you're probably going to lose Gerald Everett. So like you need some blocking help and all that. So Malcolm Brown would be good for that, in my opinion.
Yeah. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is just those injuries. You know, I mean, you don't know whether it was just a kind of a one-off. I mean, Cam Akers stuff, obviously he falls on the ball and tears rib cartilage. You can't, that's not something that you think of as somebody being injury prone. That was purely an accident. And then an ankle injury. Look, ankle injuries are going to happen. So I'm inclined to write him off a little bit more in terms of being injury prone, things like that. Daryl Henderson concerns me a little bit more just because his tendency here the last couple of years, he picks up those little knick-knack injuries that sideline him for a bit. And when you've seen it 2 years in a row, it gives me a little bit of concern. So that's why I almost think bringing Malcolm Brown back makes even more sense, because you know what you're going to get. He's been around forever. You know, he knows the system. He's a great blocker. He's a great guy in the locker room, team leader, all of that stuff. So, you know, maybe you can go out and find somebody who can fill that kind of role. But I don't know whether you're going to do it at any great savings. And I don't know whether you're going to find somebody who's really that much of an upgrade over Malcolm Brown. So all those things considered, I think it probably makes sense to bring him back as that, if nothing else, then is that safety valve kind of option.
Yeah, and I'd like to see a little Xavier Jones this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I really liked his training camp that he had. Obviously, the Rams are so high on him and he stuck to their roster and everything, and just never really got opportunities this year and crowded room and all of that. But yeah, I'd like to see him worked into the rotation a little bit. And yeah, like you said, there's not really much harm in financially and bringing Malcolm Brown back. And you probably get the upside of, you know, having someone with his character in the locker room. And as your younger backs, like, just continue to grow. And, you know, I just think that there's positives for that. Like, I wouldn't call him a priority
right
free agent for them, but if he's willing to come back on something friendlier, you know, we'll see. And I think that, yeah. I think that especially as a blocker and like how he pass protects and can read some of that stuff, I think that'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I skipped over tight ends, didn't I? How could I?
You know,
much like the Rams offense.
Like the Rams. I was just going to say the same thing.
I skipped over the tight ends.
Much like the 2020 Rams.
Yeah.
Yes. They were hidden amid all of our blocking.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's like offensive line and tight end can go kind of hand in hand. Cause like, you know, like I don't see them moving on from Tyler Higbee. By the way, they are not involved in trade talks for Zachary Ertz.
Oh my goodness.
That was another thing I saw on Twitter, like some speculation, and like, we got to stop, you know, not everybody's a fit for the Rams.
Right.
The Rams are not in trade talks for Zach Ertz. Just want to put
that
out.
What a dream killer you are.
I know. Yeah. I'm just throw another dart. I am the worst. I'm just going full Monday on everybody's ass.
Like, yeah.
That's the worst. But then Gerald Everett becomes an interesting case study, Rich, don't you think?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, how we've pretty much just considered for a full year now that Gerald Everett isn't coming back. I mean, it almost seems like it's just everyone has accepted it. And really, I don't think, Jordan, I don't want to speak for you, but I never really have gotten any pushback from Rams people about that. The idea that, let's put it this way, I haven't heard anybody come out and say, well, yeah, we might bring him back. it just kind of seems like everybody understands that that it's not going to happen, that it's time to move on. And I think that probably is the case. I certainly think Tyler Higbee is the guy that you build around there with that tight end spot. And then you look at player X, right? Our good friend Bryson Hopkins, who...
It's time.
Yeah. you know, if you look at the skill set when they drafted Bryson Hopkins and you looked at a role that he could fill in that offense, you thought of Gerald Everett. And they were redundant at the time, and that's probably why Bryson Hopkins, you know, didn't get on the field last year. But if you let Gerald Everett walk, then there's certainly an opportunity there for Bryson Hopkins to step in. So you mentioned Johnny Munt too. I think there's value there. Very, very different type of player, but has had some great value for the Rams in limited use over the last couple of years. So I don't know. The Ertz talk. Look, it's there's always going to be fun with it, but I don't necessarily see there being anything any big moves here unless you consider Gerald Everett walking away to be a big surprise.
Well, and I don't, but I think that it was such an interesting line that they walked with him because on the one hand you have like you're not accepting trade calls. Like teams tried to trade for him earlier this year, right, before the deadline, or they were like making calls on him. And however serious those could have gotten, I don't know. But there was definitely interest. And the Rams were like, no, we're not trading him.
Right.
And so because you needed him more than a trade return would get you, but you still did not commit to extending him. Right. So that's a very thin line to walk with a player. And so he was an interesting study to me. I think he made himself some money this year. I know there were some issues with contested catches and a couple drops, but like I do think he made himself some money, particularly when they roll him out in that fullback package. Like you can really see the versatility that he has. So, you know, I think that like only if something just weird happens and the tight end market completely tanks out, that's in that case, you maybe circle back around and do a 1 year or something like that. But like, right. No, I don't, I'm not surprised by this, but then you know, you think about, will they be, have enough continuity and have enough sort of, stability on the offensive line to where we can actually maybe see the tight ends running some routes out there,
yeah,
because you don't desperately need them in line for blocking help.
Yeah, the potential is there. And I think that was kind of what was frustrating about Gerald Everett at times, because the potential was there too. And he had that great skill set in some of the catches that he made. And his ability to get down the field, the consistency wasn't quite there, and I think that probably factored into, you know, maybe why he wasn't as big a part of that offense as maybe some people thought he could be. So, you know, it just seems to make sense. And then, look, Bryson Hopkins, very intriguing talent to see how he might be able to step in and fill some of that role. But yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about with the receivers too. You know, how is this offense going to look? Who's going to have Matthew Stafford's trust out there? I mean, these are things that we're really not going to know until they get on the field. But yeah, I would anticipate Gerald Everett finding a new home. And like you said, I think he can do well for himself. And that skill set is definitely there. He just probably needs to put it all together with some consistency.
So the major possible re-sign here, and kind of a hinge, like we'll learn a lot about the Rams' plans, not only with their new staff, but also in free agency, obviously, and what they would do in the draft. We'll learn a lot about them based on whether or not they re-sign center Austin Blythe.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that's a really I think it's an important one. And I really think that it's a good idea to bring him back. I don't necessarily see him getting a huge raise, so you don't necessarily have to worry about that. But if you don't do it, then maybe you can look at free agency. Maybe you can look at the draft. Maybe you give Brian Allen another look a couple years after that didn't quite work out. But I just don't see the need to make a change there. And we started off the episode, Jordan, by talking about the Rams not being in a position where they need to make moves based on finances. If this is a situation where you looked at it and just said, well, can't afford Austin Blythe, can't afford to pay him that, have to go with a rookie or have to go with a lower priced guy, then I would kind of understand it. But I don't think they're in that scenario right now. And I just think it's too important to have him there in that spot. So I frankly am a little surprised it didn't happen earlier. But I agree, Jordan. I think that's a real hinge and a real a glimpse into what their plans are. And frankly, I think it would be a mistake. I'm not saying give the guy, you know, 3 or 4 years or something like that. But I think it would be a mistake not to at least bring him back for next year, or maybe even the next 2 years.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Yeah, because the other part of that, Rich, is like, and I agree with you, is like the other part of that is I don't believe that it's smart, especially with a new offensive line coach in your system. I don't believe that it is a smart decision to then come and say, okay, I'm going to draft a center. And that's what I have to do. I have to draft like Creed Humphrey or another one of these really promising centers, right, which you won't be able to do it until deep in the second round. The good news for the Rams is it's a really good interior offensive lineman class. And it's also a good tackle class, and it's deep in both phases. So like, here's the best case scenario in my mind is you re-sign Austin Blythe. And again, he's not going to be a like market setting center for them.
Right.
He's going to be someone who's very reasonably, you know, he's not going to like get them to just like completely shake out their wallets. Like he's around that sort of 2 to 3 tier financially where you kind of can see that's where he'd fall. So I think that's okay. But I like a veteran playing with Matthew Stafford much more than I like a rookie playing with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
And this is no knock on young guys and really promising guys who are in this draft class. It's just like one of the hardest positions in football to play.
Yeah.
And at the NFL pace and in the NFC West, like where all these rushers are coming, like, and you have to call out everything and make your checks and everything. And like, and yeah, you have Matthew Stafford, who's like a veteran set of eyes there, but you really have to make sure the center and the quarterback are in sync. And so having some experience there is really important. And I think, you know, I think Austin Blythe like gets the job done in that regard. Right. And then the way that Matthew Stafford can move around his pocket, you're not seeing like a freaking emergency every single time pressure comes up the middle, right? Like, I think you're not like, shield your eyes, children. Like, I think it's okay.
Right.
So I think it'll be fine. What this also does, and to your point, like what it does also is it gives you the opportunity to also draft a center guard who serves as depth for you. And you always need depth on your offensive line, like unless you're the 2018 Rams, which is like the most rare case, like of awesome offensive line play,
right,
and total health and everything. but you usually need depth. So like, I wouldn't be mad at them drafting early a great center guard and then having this guy develop in as sort of the long-term answer at center. And then you solve your position and a huge corner piece of your offensive line for the next several years. And it also gives you flexibility if you're not desperate at that position or at that pick point. Gives you some flexibility to then start making plans for what you're going to do someday at left tackle.
Right, right. In 10 years from now, when Andrew Whitworth retires.
In 10 Whitworths.
At age 50.
10 Whitworths from now, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think, Jordan, that one of my takeaways here is whether it's free agency or the draft, I think we're going to learn a lot this offseason about what the Rams think of some of these guys who they have. When I say that, I mean a Joe Noteboom, or a David Edwards, a Brian Allen, an Austin Corbett, a Bobby Evans. I think we're going to learn a little bit about how they view those guys and whether or not they view them as long-term starters or whether or not they view them as their depth guys, their backups. Because all of those guys who I mentioned are either starters now or have been starters for the Rams in the past. And some of them have been kind of in and out. Bobby Evans got his shot because of injury, and then Rob Havenstein won that job back. Joe Noteboom, of course, has been, you know, spot starting because of various injuries. Brian Allen in and out. I think it's kind of time to make a decision on those guys. And if you don't feel like they are a part of your future, then it's time to address that either through the draft, like you said, or maybe even free agency if you want to make some type of upgrade there. These guys have all been around now for about 3 years, essentially, and that should be enough time. That should be enough time to figure out whether or not you think they're part of the future or not. Of course, that gets complicated now because, as you said, new offensive line coach. So how do you approach that? Do you let the new offensive line coach work with some of these guys for a year to see what he can bring out of them? Maybe he's going to value different attributes than Aaron Cromer did. Maybe he'll even have a slightly different system. I don't know these things yet. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is I think we've kind of reached a transition or a fork in the road in terms of where they're going to go with some of these guys and what offseason moves they might make to reflect that.
Well said. I have nothing to add. Wow. Okay. I mean, I agree with you. I think that like this spring certainly as well will tell us a lot in terms of, if and when they can start actually working together in person. I think that tells us a lot about Kevin Carberry and sort of what qualities he sort of prioritizes. And then, you know, they're still in a little bit of a kind of a waiting period with Andrew Whitworth. So lots right. to figure out. And I think you don't, if you have things to figure out in that regard and you have some answers, but not all of them, like you don't try to shake everything up along the line. I think you just try to always go for as much continuity as possible. But yeah. Then on the other side
yeah.
of the ball and starting up front, they are in such an interesting position on the defensive line as well, because you have obviously your stars and your starting players, your starting defensive tackles, Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, A'shaun Robinson, they account for $42 million of your salary cap, which
yeah.
also is kind of hilarious because A'shaun Robinson's cap number is actually tiny.
Right. Yeah, he's not the he's not the anchor on this one, that's for sure.
No, yeah. It's really, so something that we need to get out of the way first and foremost is, like, they could restructure Aaron Donald. Like, this could happen.
Right.
They're deciding who they're restructuring, and guys are, of course, probably going to be thrilled to get bonuses, and then you still have incentive clauses and all that stuff, and when you are Aaron Donald and you hit your incentives every year, then you probably are okay with that, and so that part of it's going to be interesting. I am interested in what they do behind those guys.
Yeah, you've got some, Greg Gaines is a guy who's been interesting. I mean, it's funny when
he's made some gains.
That's number four. when he got drafted, it was almost like there was so much talk around him and so much hype around him that he was almost penciled in to be a day one starter, and then it never really worked out that way. And you know, he's been in and out, and I think has played, you know, decently in some spot efforts. But yeah, I mean, Sebastian Joseph Day is a guy who you feel really good about. I think you feel good about his long-term future. But yeah, that's, you know, that's when I look at a guy like Brockers and I think, yeah, you could do something there. You could cut him or whatever you want to do. But do you really want to when you think about that front and how important he is? I just don't know. I don't think that's the right thing to do right now.
Yeah. And like, could, if it's, you know, if you get a good return, like, okay, you know, I could see it. But
yeah.
But I think, again, like you might, like my, if I were the GM, my two of my priorities, I'd probably re-sign the center. I would probably try to come to agreement on something. We'll get to outside linebacker. I'd probably try to re-sign Leonard Floyd or do the same thing the Rams are doing where they identify like a good quality under the radar veteran who's cheap, but with a lot of upside, right, who gets to play next to Aaron Donald. And then I would try to re-sign Morgan Fox.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's become such a valuable player for him. And I don't know what that would mean for Michael Brockers, but I would absolutely try to re-sign Morgan Fox.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys who you look at him and you don't think, well, you know, this guy's not that much of an impact player, but wow, does he just make plays? And I think he's a versatile guy. He's productive when he gets in there. And yeah, I don't see why you would not bring him back. I'm hedging here. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a huge market for Morgan Fox, but at the same time, he's very valuable. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's just kind of stuck around. He's never really been a starter. He's never really had a huge role on the team. But yet you see him pop up in so many plays. And I just think if you can bring a guy like that back, I absolutely would.
And I think that, like, because Morgan Fox can do so many different things now, like he's an inside, he can be an inside or outside rusher at this point, and they've played him as such, like in various fronts. And then if you go into four-man fronts, he could have his hand in the dirt on the outside. If you're in a three-man front, he could play on the inside or the outside. Like, I mean, it's really, you can do a lot of stuff with him. So I think that, like, one of the things is just because you are, like, for the sake of hypothesis, like, if you bring back both A'shaun Robinson and Michael Brockers, that doesn't mean that you can't line Morgan Fox up next to those guys, because right. You can rotate him if you've got a nose tackle or some of these interior linemen, and you kind of keep them in one or two spots. Like, you can orbit Morgan Fox around them in similar ways that you also can orbit Aaron Donald around them. Like, this could be a very cheap way to continue to manufacture sack production when now you have a guy, Aaron Donald's always going to get the double teams. When you start to move Morgan Fox around and he would hopefully produce at the level he did by the end of the year last year, then you start to have attention attracted to him. Well, it just opens things up for your edge guys. It opens things up for your deep interior guys like A'shaun Robinson. Like, all of it starts to work together. And so I think when you have not one but two really versatile guys, and no, I'm not calling Morgan Fox Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is like, he's like on his own planet. Like, but when you have two guys who can be versatile in that way, they really help each other. And so I think that it would be a really interesting and in my opinion, a really neat plan to see both of them together. And then you're probably not as sad about, you know, not getting a guy like J.J. Watt, because you have Aaron Donald, right. And then, you know, you're going to get another versatile guy who you could have lined up inside outside like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So I have a lot more questions about the edge rusher spots, because, you know, this is, and I go back and forth on this, Jordan. I'll admit, I'm not real sure. Obviously, Leonard Floyd said to be a free agent. Samson Ebikam also said to be a free agent. So they have a couple potential holes here. Jordan, like, I know we've talked about this, and I have agreed with you. But like I said, I go back and forth about Leonard Floyd and bringing him back and the importance of that. But the thing that I look at then again is the success they've had in going out and getting those guys and lining them up next to Aaron Donald, and then abracadabra, they suddenly become, you know, double-digit sack guys. Now, I'm not saying you can go back to that well every single time, but you know, Leonard Floyd has played himself into a pretty big paycheck, probably much like Dante Fowler did a year ago. So is that the route do you want to go down? Do you want to go and spend that money to secure that guy? Or do you let him walk the way that they let Dante Fowler walk and try to go find somebody the same way that they found those two guys? There's a little bit of a risk there because it's a really important position and you've got to get it right. And I don't know whether a Terrell Lewis, I really like his skill. He's having trouble staying healthy. He could not stay on the field for a big part of his rookie season. So I don't know how confident you feel about that. Oboe, another guy who has flashed some potential but hasn't done it consistently. So I don't know, Jordan, do you pay a little bit more than maybe you might want to keep that, to keep what you know in Leonard Floyd? Or do you roll the dice a little bit and say, hey, maybe we can go find another bargain and use that money somewhere else?
My pitch, if I were Les Snead, my pitch would be to Leonard Floyd as we can only maybe pay you like $11 million, $12 million tops.
Right.
We can give you heavy incentives because, you know, maybe we'll do some things by the middle of the year that we'll have a little extra money. There's always ways that you can sort of like go into debt at that time,
right.
Pay in cash, things like that. The sting of all of these, this blockbuster trade will have worn off. So Stan Kroenke can like open up the wallet again for some cash bonuses. Like you can incentivize some things. So my pitch to Leonard Floyd would be like, hey man, like we cannot give you what sort of the league would say that your multi-year market value would be. But what we can do is we can pay you a base that's under, but we can incentivize the crap out of it. Because if you play next to Aaron Donald, you probably know that you're going to hit those incentives.
Right.
And that we can work with. Those things we can manage. Like we don't have to do that. That doesn't necessarily have to be on the book right now. And that's kind of my pitch. That would be my pitch to him. But if I'm, and then my pitch would also be like, hey, this is what happened to Dante Fowler, who
right.
was wildly successful when playing next to Aaron Donald, but then sort of went downhill a little bit. And then, but also, you know, then you're Leonard Floyd, and you're looking at it, and you're like, well, was Dante Fowler on a good team? They changed coaches,
right.
You know, all of this stuff happened, right? So the interesting part to this is that obviously guys like Brandon Staley, who have coached Leonard Floyd multiple times before, now with other teams who have lots of cap space. So maybe you test out and see what your options are there. But if you have a better opportunity to win your incentives, if they are offered to you, you know, it's a tough call. It would be a yeah. tough call. And I hope that Leonard Floyd, you know, does have a lot of autonomy in making this decision, because I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. I think Leonard Floyd was outstanding for them, not just because he produced in the way that they thought and hoped that he would, but also he was just very, very good against the run. And right. he just was a great teammate. Like he just was like just one of those guys that they just liked having around.
Right.
So
right.
I think that was all those things were good. Now the Rams, if he does hit free agency, and I agree with you on all of the concerns about depth, and I know that Raheem Morris likes edge rushers with a lot of length and a lot of power, so that kind of rules out, like, I know Samson Embiid is set to test, you know, free agency, might rule him out. It might change some of the personnel that they use and that they sort of look for in the draft as well. But you might need to go out and find another veteran edge rusher. And, you know, I've listed names over and over and over again that are guys who could be those potential high upside guys, like Romeo Okwara, Justin Houston, Trey Hendrickson, guys like that who, you know, it's such a weird year that the market will be weird. And maybe you have a chance with a couple of those names at lower dollar deals. And then here's a cool tidbit. They're actually not adverse to the idea of reuniting with Dante Fowler if he becomes a cap casualty and he gets cut, which I think is, I mean, that would be kind of a no-brainer, right? Because you already know what he could do for you when he's playing next to Aaron Donald. He knows the system. He knows Raheem Morris.
Right. That would make a lot of sense. It really would.
Yeah.
and what a move, what a shrewd move that would be for the Rams to not pay Dante Fowler a year ago and let him go and sign Leonard Floyd and then to get Dante Fowler back.
Right. Get your 10.5 sacks and then bring back your guy who's familiar.
Yeah. No, I think this is an area where we're going to see something. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about the draft or re-signing your own guys, but I feel like something's going to happen here in free agency, and maybe it's a blend.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a blend of the draft and this, but yeah, Leonard Floyd, it'll be interesting. I would expect him to go into the negotiating period. Is that how you say it?
What did I say?
I don't know.
Negotiating period, like negotiating, but with like faux, like faux fur.
Okay. All right.
Did I just mansplain my
pun
to you?
No. I was asking for it in several ways. But I think this is one that smells to me like he goes into that to see what his market is. And I really don't know what it's going to be. And that's one of those where the weirdness of this offseason probably is going to have a big say in that. Now, is somebody going to give Leonard Floyd 3 or 4 years after what happened with Dante Fowler last year? I don't know. That could be a factor. And then you get into, well, if it's only a 1 year deal that you're getting, then why wouldn't you stay with the Rams? Why wouldn't you just, right, you know, do what you did last year and play next to Aaron Donald and put up another great season? And then 12 months from now, you can go out and get that 3 year deal that you really want. So who knows? All it takes is one team. Maybe there's a team out there that's really super high on Leonard Floyd and is willing to give him that money right now, to give him that 3 year deal or whatever it might be. Certainly within the realm of possibility, but I do think that's one that will go into next week, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it feels like it, Jordan. If not only for the reason that you know you have come up with a list of so many of those good names, but you know, the Rams have done this before in signing Clay Matthews and things like that, where they're not afraid to go out and do something like that. So I think there's a good possibility there.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think this is like a superstar class of edge rushers in the draft. Like, I think you're more likely to find maybe a great development guy. And I really like the idea of double dipping. Like, I believe that outside linebackers where we're going to see maybe the highest investment that they make in this free agency year. And then I also think that they will double dip by getting some depth at edge rusher. And part of that is because you have Terrell Lewis, who is extremely productive, but will probably be playing limited snaps if they can't get the knee situation figured out. But if you double dip and you get another younger rotational player, that's actually great, because then you can manage Terrell Lewis better in terms of his health and not sort of force him out there if his knee isn't, you know, full go, right, or if he's not playing up to his normal standard. And you can rotate him in efficiently with like a younger pass rush specialist guy who is getting development experience, who can ultimately mean for you that you can stop having to pay these veteran guys to come in. Like, he can ultimately be a three down guy for you. So I think that there's a couple of players who show that potential, but it's not like at the Rams pick points, especially, I don't think that they're finding, you know, like, you know, you're 10.5 sack replacement guy at 57 or something like that. But then also, you know, just like you have to, like, their secondary was so good last year, and the pass rush and then the coverage complement are so crucial and so connected and sort of complementary to each other that, like, you're trying desperately to preserve similar facets of that, while also understanding that it's not just the outside linebacker position that maybe you're concerned about, but let's talk about the secondary.
It's going to be amazing there. I mean, John Johnson, you talk about Leonard Floyd, and I think it's a little bit of the same thing there in terms of what's the market going to be like. I think that'll dictate a lot of it. I tend to think there's going to be more of a market for John Johnson there, independent of whatever's going on with finances this year or the salary cap. If I'm the Chargers, for instance, with our old friend Brandon Staley, I'd feel pretty good about giving John Johnson a longer term contract, even if the financial situation is not ideal this year. So we'll see what happens there. But obviously, Troy Hill, a very underrated, cornerback over the last couple of years. And then, of course, Darius Williams. Jordan, I don't know if you've had any questions about Darius Williams. and has anybody on Twitter asked you what the Rams might do with Darius Williams?
I'm performing like a social experiment here because I've included my news on and my reporting on Darius Williams and how the Rams are going to tender him. He's a restricted free agent. The Rams are going to tender him. I've included it in like several stories since November, actually. And several people, and like I see you and appreciate you all, several people have caught on to it. And so now have sort of that knowledge entering free agency. But it's weird how it hasn't seemed to become like news because I haven't actually tweeted it out. Isn't that interesting how that works?
That's odd.
So it's like they're going to tender Darius Williams. They don't have any intention of letting him leave. They really, really like him. And how could you not? Awesome player. But the thing is like you also, to me, if you want to even come close to being able to unlock Jalen Ramsey in the way that you did last year in terms of just he had so much movement autonomy, but part of the reason why you're able to do that is not only you have versatility in John Johnson, and they have that. They have some depth there, and they believe that Jordan Fuller could call the defense like John Johnson did. And then you have depth at your other positions as well. But you also need a guy like Troy Hill, who is super versatile and just is a do-anything guy. And Jalen Ramsey talked so glowingly of Troy at the end of the season, because he was like, listen, I probably couldn't have moved around as much as I did and covered so much of the field if I didn't also have Troy Hill, who could move inside when needed, who could come back outside and was like playing two different positions in every game as a like sort of a lighter complement to Jalen Ramsey's like heavy autonomy in the secondary, right? So yeah. I think that was such an interesting dynamic and something that they really need to look into. Like, they've got some decent depth elsewhere. Like David Long could be like a good smaller nickel for them. They're a nickel a lot. And then if they keep Brandon Staley's secondary concepts, they're going to be in nickel a lot. They're going to be in dime a lot. They're going to be in star a lot. So then you have like Terrell Burgess, who could move into a bigger nickel package. Nick Scott, who could do that. And you have obviously Taylor Rapp, who can play a great sort of sure tackling safety role for you.
Right.
And so, but you might really want to find a guy who can take, like, I know they'd like to re-sign Troy Hill if it's team friendly. That's another guy Brandon Staley really likes. Yeah. So you'd like to sign Troy Hill to re-sign him. You might not be able to. In that case, you really need to find somebody who has that type of versatility. And then if they carry the same or similar scheme, and some things could be different, and we're still sort of workshopping through that, and we'll hopefully be able to actually see some football soon so we can really workshop it. But there's going to be a blending of schematic concepts. And so this Brandon Staley's team is so secondary dependent. Obviously, it's dependent on Aaron freaking Donald and everything that he can do. But on the back half, what they were able to do is so interesting. So if you're going to keep some of that, and you're going to kind of have such a standout top secondary in that regard, you maybe can cover up some things that happen in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be able to cover up some of the inside linebacker stuff next year. So where do they go at inside linebacker?
Yeah, I wonder about that too. And I wondered about it a year ago, and the Rams really didn't do anything there. The one thing, and I know you mentioned it in your latest piece too, Jordan, is you can't forget about Traven Howard. And I know it's been a little bit out of sight, out of mind because he didn't get to play last year. But he was a guy who at the end of that 2019 season, when he stepped in and you know, I think he got a start there. He certainly played a lot in the last few games of the season. I was impressed. I thought that was a guy who could play NFL football. He could be out there. It's always a little bit different when you're the guy and when you're asked to be a starter and things like that. But I would not sleep on him and his ability to step in there. So that maybe mitigates a little bit of it. And then Jordan, I know another guy who you hear a lot about is Christian Roseboom, who we really have not gotten a chance to see, at least in regular season games, things like that. So there's a possibility there, but I don't know. I don't know whether this is the year where they finally, the Rams have not wanted to spend a lot of capital in terms of that inside linebacker position. When you even look at some of the draft picks, I mean, Micah Kizer was a fifth round pick. Troy Reader was undrafted. Traven Howard, seventh rounder. Kenny Young was kind of a throw-in. I don't mean that to be rude, but I mean, he was kind of a throw-in on the Marcus Peters trade. So they have not invested a lot of capital in that position over the last few years. I don't know whether necessarily that will change or not this year, but it's certainly something they have to look at.
Yeah, and a lot of that I think is dependent on Raheem Morris too, because Brandon Staley comes in last year and like it's very clear, first of all, that they're not spending the resources on linebacker, but also that he believes as a part of how he moves his safeties and extra defensive backs that you don't necessarily have to. So if that's a place where you absolutely need to save resources, which they did, and weren't going to, they bring in Terrell Lewis instead of a fourth round linebacker for inside linebacker, for example, and then you get the production out of him. And yeah, that's probably okay. That's probably okay last season, but you maybe need to get a little bit more horizontal speed. And then you need like one touch tackling and like right. guys who can really sort of hone in on some of that horizontal movement. Do you want to hear my Christian Roseboom conspiracy theory?
Do I?
Boy, do yes. you. Like,
how did we not start okay. the podcast with yeah. this?
I know. Yeah. I know. Okay. This is for all the dedicated listeners who I know you guys have also followed with fascination. That Christian Roseboom story since training camp when the Rams were actually like pleasantly delighted and surprised by how well he can move because he's a big guy. So I like the idea of him with like a Traven Howard. And I also don't mind like Troy Reader, Micah Kizer, Kenny Young, like they all flashed potential. Mm-hmm. So I think some of it too is like, can you build off of that? Can you do a little bit more, not just personally, but also schematically to maybe not have those issues, some of the tackling issues, I think, as well. Okay, back to the good stuff. So Christian Roseboom, my theory, so everyone kept asking like, oh, they're so light at linebacker. And again, remember, guys, they kept only three active inside linebackers on the roster for most of the season. Right. And part of it, again, was, oh, and there were only two at certain times, like Troy Reader and Kenny Young. And part of that was because, again, Brandon Staley comes in. He's like, hey, I can scheme around this and like we'll move down. And then they had some issues because then they start getting light on safeties too. But at some point you're like, hey, I'm going to move Taylor Rapp down and move Nick Scott down so we can have help here. And then that's going to be fine. John Johnson's going to play hybrid. Jalen Ramsey is going to play a hybrid linebacker role. Like they were scheming around it and they thought it was fine. Okay. Well, that's one reason that they never pulled Christian Roseboom up. Another reason is like, what a guy to stash. Here's my conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. You want to stash him so no one takes him away from you, especially this offseason.
Sure.
And especially before you could re-sign him to a futures deal, which they did. Like people were starting to, especially at the end of the year, like starting to poach each other's players. And now that, you know, the final stretch is here, starting to try to get guys in-house into their own systems. And I think one of my theories is like you already didn't have any tape on him because there was no training camp or there was no preseason. So you didn't have you didn't run that risk. And my deeper conspiracy theory is like, even if you could have promoted him, you just didn't want to because you didn't want any tape on him. You didn't want any tape on him. You don't want anyone just like snatching him off of your practice squad.
Sure.
And then you also needed those roster spots for depth elsewhere, including three kickers at one point. So you didn't want to bring up Christian Roseboom because you did not want to have another team be like, who the hell is that?
Right.
Like, right. That guy's pretty good. Why is he on the practice squad? So that's my, I mean, it's not super exciting, but that's my conspiracy theory. But I'm really excited about like seeing what he and Traven Howard can do. It sounds like Traven Howard came through that meniscus surgery pretty well. So I think that's exciting.
Yeah, indeed. I think there's something to that, Jordan. There absolutely is. So I want to see, I hope, as weird as it sounds, I can't believe I'm speaking these words, but I really hope that we do get preseason games this year so that you can kind of see how these guys actually look.
I will take it, man.
I know, right?
I will take it. I will take, like, I'm going crazy right now with no football. And like nothing. So yeah. I cannot wait. I didn't get to watch spring football last year. Spring football, so much fun because you start to see concepts come in and all that stuff. Sure. So, you know, training camp, preseason is not fun, but I will actually not one time complain about the preseason this year if I actually get to watch it in person. Yeah. That would be amazing. I welcome that with open arms.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more there. So yeah, Jordan, here we go, right?
I mean, here we go.
Yeah,
it's rumors week.
Yeah,
Don't believe everything you hear, guys. Right. Let's stay sane out there.
Right, yeah. And along those lines, make sure you follow Jordan on Twitter at Jordan Rodrigue. Try not to hit her with too many weird conspiracy trades or anything like that. But yeah, it's an interesting time. And really, you know, since the Rams have been back here, since I've been around them the last 5 years, I mean, just a fascinating period around the league. I have no idea what's going to happen with some of these players or what the contracts are going to look like, but we're going to find out really soon here, and we'll be back with you next week to see what happened, to see what starts happening with some of these agreements and some of these signings and some of these cuts. Maybe it'll be really busy, maybe it won't, but make sure you follow along with Jordan at The Athletic. And Jordan, I'll flip the script on you this week because you know that if you sign up for The Athletic, and especially if you do so through our 11 personnel page, theathletic.com/11personnel, what do you get?
My favorite thing in the world, a discount. You get a great discount because we are always offering discount deals off of your yearly Athletic subscription. If you subscribe to theathletic.com through the 11 personnel podcast, and also if it's not too much trouble, we would love it if you went and gave us a rating on iTunes. We would love it if you guys left us a review. We read all of them. Rich has only, I think, posted one up on his dartboard and thrown darts at it. Now my face has replaced it. So you guys go and leave us some notes, leave us some inside jokes. We really, really love interacting with y'all, and we appreciate all of our listeners. And we'll see you guys next week.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.